In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the New Testament, there are two basic accounts of the relationship between God and Abraham, and between justification and faith. One, with which we are familiar, is given in the words of our reading this morning, Romans chapter 4. In it, St. Paul says that Abraham was not justified by works. On the contrary, he was given right standing before God. He was given a right relationship with God by faith, not by anything which he did. In the words of verse 3, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Abraham believed that through himself and through his offspring, salvation would come to all mankind, and that God would bring this promise to pass no matter how unlikely it might seem. And nothing in Abraham earned God's promise, says Paul. When God called him in his native land in Mesopotamia, he did not believe in the one true God. Neither were his actions any purer or more spotless than anyone else's. God simply gave Abraham his promise as he was, and Abraham believed God's words. In the words again of chapter 4, verse 5, "To the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness." But the second account of God and Abraham, justification and faith, we do not know so well. It is given in the book of James, chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. "Do you want to be shown, you foolish fellow, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You see that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone." Do these words contradict what we have heard from St. Paul? The answer is an emphatic no. For James is looking at the matter from a different point of view than is St. Paul. Or perhaps more precisely, James is addressing a different problem as he analyzes faith and justification, as is St. Paul. James is not fighting those who say that men are saved by works and not by faith, as Paul is. Neither is he fighting against those who say that faith alone is not sufficient, but that observation of the Jewish law must be maintained. Rather, James is confronting those who separate faith from works, who separate belief from life, who speak but do not act, which St. Paul is not confronting. This may be seen in the verses immediately preceding those which I read, verses 14 through 17. "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, you are being warmed, you are being filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." What then does St. James say concerning Abraham's being put right with God? Quite simply this, that a man is saved by faith, but not by a faith which is alone. That a man is put right with God by faith, but not by a faith which has no deeds. Practically speaking, this means that Abraham had to be ready to sacrifice his son Isaac in fact when God commanded him to do so when the boy was grown up, or his faith would have been vain. Words would not have been enough. It would have been no good for him to say, "Yes, God, I know your promises are sure. Yes, God, I will have the promised offspring, but I will not take Isaac up that mountain." And it is precisely in this sense, as James so rightly says, that faith without works is dead. In the words of our Lord from the Sermon on the Mount, "It is not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." What then is the message of St. Paul and St. James to us today regarding justification by faith as we see the example of Abraham? The same really as it was for the first hearer 1900 years ago. Are you worried whether you have done enough to earn God's favor? Does your conscience bother you? Do you feel you should do more? To you, St. Paul and the gospel say, stop these foolish thoughts. Stop these foolish deeds. Come to the Savior, you who labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest. No deeds are required at all. For you, as for everyone, your faith, your simple trust in the promise of God's forgiveness is accounted to you as righteousness. Naught else need be done. But do you presume upon the grace of God? Do you say, nothing is required, therefore let us eat, drink, and be merry. Let us sin that grace and forgiveness may abound. To you, St. James and the law say, stop these foolish thoughts. Stop these foolish deeds. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Your faith is not faith. It is unbelief. You are not trusting God. You want to control your own life. And that is lack of trust. Do you desire, O foolish man, to know that faith without works is dead? Repent and return to God before it is too late. Does this make you feel guilty? Does James really speak to you? Then fear not. For to you I would speak the first word, St. Paul's word, the word of the gospel. Yes, this is God's word for you. For there is nothing that's required. Nothing need be done. Nothing can be done. For it all has been done in the life, death, and resurrection of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He lived life perfectly for you. He died completely in your stead. And he was raised again on the third day to give you new life, both now and forevermore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May we believe this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.